Patrick Cooch from the Carlton Footy Club. You listen to the Coaches Panel.
Dane Zorko here from the Brisbane Lions.
Jason Johannesson from the Western Bulldogs.
Luke Parker here from the Sydney Swans.
It's Rory Sloane here from the Adelaide Crows, and you're listening to the Coaches Panel.
Max Gorn, Melbourne Football Club.
This is Nat Fyfe from the Fremantle Footy Club, and you're listening to the Coaches Panel.
Hey friends, it's MJ from the Coaches Panel. I hope you're well. Look, normally we bring you a weekly Supercoach strategy roundtable, but true story, just the past 48 hours in a lot of different members of the Coaches Panel's life, mine inclusive, made it near on impossible. In fact, was impossible for us to be able to gather together for a roundtable. And so what we've done is we've allowed you to hear and access a Patreon exclusive podcast that normally only they get access to, but for this week only, this is one of the special rare occasions we will give you access. What we do is we go to our Patreons, and if you're not part of the Patreon supporter group, for as little as $2 a month, right through up to the top tier of $10 a month, we give people the opportunity to support the Coaches Panel and get a bunch of bonus content. One of the things they get is a Q&A podcast with me. You're getting access to it to hear. If you love it, well, the good news is you can jump on alongside it as well. Every single one of these questions have come from our Patreons. They are across a variety of different formats, and it's one of two podcasts that, depending on the tier you get signed in on, you get access to. So to make up for not being able to get you a strategy roundtable video and audio episode, we thought we would give you this as a little bit of penance and apologies for not being able to deliver early on in the season this thing for you. Let's jump straight into the questions. Ben has a question. Is Tom Powell an option? Ben, the answer is yes, it absolutely is. We saw early last year, before Alistair Clarkson went away on an extended leave, that he really rated giving Tom Powell opportunities through the midfield. And now over the 2 weeks, we've seen them go back to back. The role is there. I was a little apprehensive about the potential of what would happen in round two with Jai Simpkin coming in, but it didn't impact his centre bounce at all. In fact, it went up. And so I think you can select him with some confidence. The question isn't, is he an option? I think the question ultimately, Ben, is how are you getting to him and what are the compounding things you're doing alongside and around it? To me, that's the interesting conversation. And then how are you planning to move that second trade? So is it a Sexton, for example? Again, you don't list the format here, Ben, but is it a Sexton up to a powerful, you know, 100,000, give or take? Fantastic. But what are you needing to do around it? Is Powell the ends, or is he the means of how you're going to get there? Either way, mate, I like him as an option and a selection for you. For me, I'm interested around how you're getting there. But as we mentioned on the AFL Fantasy Strategy Roundtable that was out late Tuesday night, there's every world where he comes back with a 70, which is what he did last week prior to round two in AFL Fantasy, and not stunt that cash growth drastically, but become somebody that you move a week after. So just factor that in. Andrew's got an AFL Fantasy question. Who goes, Dacos, Whitfield, Young, or Sheasel to Musimo? He's only got 26K. I need to cut someone and I want to upgrade a Bonner or a Sexton. Thanks, legends. A really good question. You're not cutting Sheasel, so I think you can move that one as an option out. For me, I would be going, you can move a Dacos on. That's fine. You can move a Whitfield on. Yes, that's fine. And Young, I think you should have ultimately bigger priorities than that. To me, the only thing I would say is that's a huge strategy readjustment, going down from a premium defender down to a mid-price breakout guy. I know the scoring might be only 10 to 20 points per game in difference, but to me, I would be going, if you've got a Bonner and a Sexton, to me, I would be looking to take one of them down to a cow and the other one up to something else, rather than sacrificing a premium option. What, in my opinion, you've gone and done is you've listed four of who I think are going to be the top six defenders this year. So to me, like, you could probably throw a Stewart in the mix, and then the next couple you could argue out. So I think look a bit more creative. I know Dacos was underwhelming last week, but he was awesome the week before. Whitfield hasn't let us down, and on the bye, I don't see a real urgent reason to shove him off. Sheasel is not even a consideration, and Young, he was awesome for three quarters in opening round, in the first round. And then last week, there just wasn't much contested ball, and there wasn't as many tackles, and there were more clangers than I've seen for him. I know AFL Fantasy don't have those. So to me, I would rather look at Bonner and Sexton as a one-up, one-down approach rather than getting off one of the better premium defenders. Jacob Graff, currently his trades are this. It's Newcomb to Crouch, Sexton to Powell, which obviously sounds great, but my question is around structure versus targets. As these trades, while they're great, leave me with a two-rookie midfield, but the relevant forward players appear to be Jackson and Billings this week as getting power regardless, which feel too late with Darcy back potentially next week and Billings coming up to his bye. So his question is this: is it prioritising the players coming in, or is it the optimal structure? Me thinking is that the Roberts by five, Roberts buy in round five, followed by followed by some potential Windsor in the mid, makes it look sustainable that we'll get DPPs after the buys. Really good questions, Jacob. I love that. Let's come to the player-specific things about Jacob, Jackson and Billings. You're absolutely right. With Billings' buy coming soon, you've missed the opportunity to jump on, as far as I'm concerned. If you are using and viewing him as a moneymaker to transport yourself to someone else. Now, if you view him as a top 10 forward, that's a different conversation. But if you're viewing him as a money-making mover, you've missed that opportunity. You need to look elsewhere. Again, as you've mentioned, the buy is fast approaching. Similarly with Jackson, the role was always known. The scoring was known to us. This is the thing, right? Is he? We knew in AFL Fantasy he was a 100 guy when he goes without Jackson, without Darcy, and that's a number of games from 2023. Equally, we know what he is in Supercoach, which is a 120 sort of guy when he goes without Darcy, and the fixture had been relatively friendly. So this isn't a hindsight call. This is a factual what we know he does when he's there. What people were banking on is that the 4 weeks or so of no Darcy would maybe be huge and big, which it's certainly been, especially in Supercoach with last week's 170-plus score and last week pushing towards that 120, you know, 110 sort of range in AFL Fantasy. So they were banking on points now, a little bit of money now, and hoping they might jag an extra 1 or 2 weeks and get it towards 5 and 6 weeks. So to me, I think both of those guys, Jacob, are out of the conversation for you now, and you need to be looking elsewhere. For me, you need to be looking to doing a number of things right now, Jacob, with your trades. Maximizing your cash and team generation of value while not sacrificing your opportunity to score. And so you got a couple of guys there in Sexton and Newcomb that I 100% would endorse you jumping off. I've got no problem with you making those moves. I would be going, what can I do? You've gone a mid-pricer. It seems like you're bullish on him based on what you've stated there. So now it's about Crouch and who's best available. He's perfectly fine. I'm not huge on trading into any Crows just yet. They've been very underwhelming, as great as Crouch has been through the midfield. Change is going to clearly come this week, no matter what it is, whether that be maybe not the players and the dynamic, but certainly the intent to get a greater meters gained approach. So I probably wouldn't be trading into Crouch this week, as much as I see the scoring is there and the money making is there. I'm a little apprehensive to talk someone into that. As far as the optimal structure question that you're looking at, just make sure with the moves that you're making, while you might be improving your team in one area of the field from a points on field, you're not negating the win by putting a worse premium, a worse cash cow option on the field. So just look at it in a bit of a totality approach. If you're bullish on Powell, that clearly locks you out of what you can else do with Newcomb. Without knowing the bench options and the rookies and what your cash generation is looking elsewhere, it's hard to fill that out to say whether or not Sexton is the best one to jump off this week, but absolutely his time is fast done and approaching in our teams. Adam has a question. Last week he did Reed to Mossimo, which is well done on doing that, leaving Williams and he as his D7 options, with the intention of getting that fixed by round four. where it's best 22, but the lack of defensive rookies is having this a viable structure. Yeah, it absolutely is, because what you're looking with both of these players, Adam, is they are far from your finished project. These are your guys that are ultimately there to just make you money. And they're going to do that for you. What I don't know about your team, Adam, is do you have, for example, a Whitfield who's off this week? You're able to maximize that and put him on there. Do you have a Christian Salem or a Nick Dacos who in round 5 and 6 are going to be missing and you can put these guys on there? It's why the three-headed ruck monster was a viable approach for a lot of people. They knew they were sacrificing some points on field because of how they were spreading their dollars, but they were maximizing cash generation and team value as best they could. And I think, Adam, you've just chosen to do that with your defensive line. So to me, that's absolutely fine. Wayno 1870 has a question. AF, what affected Viney's score? Was it a one-off or a sign of things to come? Great question. I think there's a number of things, but one of the things that happened last week in this matchup for him and how it impacted his scoring, you always got to take the opposition into consideration. And if you go back and you think about that game, Hawthorn for the first quarter were just happy to play chip football. And so it was a very uncontested game, denying the football when they had it. And Melbourne, when they had it, they were just going for it, surge. So Viney always does his best work in the heat of the contest. And politely, there wasn't much heat in that contest. So if you're bullish on Viney, I'm not too concerned about it just yet. We should see this week at least a little bit of a tighter contest against Port Adelaide, who are a restrictive team, but I wouldn't be as concerned. I'm not a big fan of Viney as a selection, but I certainly wouldn't be turned off by what I saw last week. Darren has a question after a nice little encouragement there. So thank you, Darren, for your thoughts there. He says he's in a comfortable position with the correct rookies and mid prices, so I'm looking to go down to a D'Ambrosio from a Young or a Salem and a not-so-sexy ton-up to Powell. Salem or Young? I was panicking with Salem, but I didn't get a chance to see it with my eyes. Is he out of the midfield rotation as the pair match up again? Which worries me. How do you see it? Am I overreacting? Darren, you are not overreacting. Salem is 100% the guy you should be moving out. And if D'Ambrosio is the one you want to go down to because it frees up some cash to get up to Tommy Powell, absolutely fine with you being able to do it. Salem's made some money for you, and the buy is fast approaching, and I would absolutely be getting off. So, yes, I'd be doing that. Corey Blackledge, for AFL Fantasy, is it okay to do Sexton to Powell and Billings to Mass? Yeah, the answer is yes, it's absolutely okay to do that. Just the flag that I want to come back for you, Corey, is I think I mentioned it a little bit earlier in the episode for Ben, is this. When you go mid-pricer to mid-pricer to mid-pricer to mid-pricer, there is a world where you just spin circles, you make 50 grand cumulatively out of these players every single week, and you never really build your team value and never really get the maximum optimal opportunities for on-field scoring. That said, both Powell and also D'Ambrosio have great roles. So I'd be less concerned. I know you would have said the same about Bonner last week, but we returned a little bit more to what we know he was at Port Adelaide, which is a defensive liability, sometimes a brilliant kick, and sometimes a little bit sluggish when he needs to really fully commit to things. So that would be my only concern for you, Corey, about it. But absolutely, in principle, I'm not too concerned. In Supercoach, I'm looking at Wines or Martin out, as well as Young and Berry Windsor. But if I go Berry out, I can't play Sanders on field for Moss, for Sheezel and Powell. From an ins, I like those ins as a trio. I think Sheezel is going to be a top six defender for us. I think Moss is a great money maker, especially if you've got options that you're not really thrilled by. And Powell looks like he's got that opportunity. He's not going to kick two goals every week. And Simpkin could start to just pick up a little bit more centre bounce through there. I think they're going to be conservative with him, given the history of concussion. But that could be something for you to just keep a half eye on. But to me, if I'm looking at those outs, Martin, I'm okay for you to move out. He's really severely, from a price perspective, is impacted by that round one score. He looked better last week. Still not awesome, but he looked better. I think if you're holding him through this week, you're really doing it because of the DPP move and the structural elements and thinking he'll be around that 90 sort of marker, which I think is fine. And then, yeah, you can look to prioritise him as a move during the mid-season buy block, should you so wish. Wines is probably the guy I'd be really happy to jump off. He's had the role there. He's gone back-to-back 90s, I think, in Supercoach. So he's been good and solid, but he's certainly not been what coaches were hoping for. And if that's the way you get up to an out-and-out jet in a Sheasel, then to me, I'm not too hurt by that. James has a Supercoach question. Is it too late to swap Young and Short out for Ryan and D'Ambrosio? I don't trust Young. He's lured me in again, and now he's been a repeat burn man for me. I have no problem with you moving on Young if you really want to do that. He has got a break even for you now in Supercoach, which is at that level that I go, yep, he's got the ownership too, which is the only factor. But when I look at his break even up at 165, he's undoubtedly going to lose money. The only thing I would factor for you again is I can't see him ever being as bad as he's been over the past 2 weeks. Mini Monk, one of our fellow panelists, tweeted out something the other day about these past 2 weeks being his worst two games of clangers ever. Now, part of that is symptomatic of where he sits in the team. He's playing midfield now, not half back. But I think Mini's spot on the money, which was these are really unique elements. That said, if getting Young gets you to a premium defender you like in Ryan, you don't want Short, you want to make the money with D'Ambrosio, it's a little bit of a structural change for you there, but I'm not opposed to it, James. The only thing I would say is, what's your third trade? I think in Supercoach, this is a critical week. You want to make sure that for all bar a couple of teams, this is their first big price movement week. You want to be making sure you're maximizing the opportunity for cash generation so you can get into your trade upgrade season and trade cadence more easily. So I'd be considering looking at making a boost without knowing the rest of your team. Rowan's got an AFL fantasy question. With mid-prices Powell and Moss popping and guys like Flanders and Green coming off by next week, it seems like it's really the time to jump on a mid-pricer, and next week is time to find the upgrade. With a guy like Windhager, though, who could pop as a role for there now, could we go him instead of a Mass or a Powell? For me, I would prioritise the two you've mentioned over a Windhager. I think Windy can wait a week. He's got a break even from the top of mind. I think it's in the mid-50s. And even with another 80 or so, he's only going to make you a 20K-ish, and I'd like to see it for another week. I know what the role is going to be, but for me, I think if you don't get D'Ambrosio and Powell this week, you've missed them, whereas Windy, you can wait the week based on just where his break-even is sitting, and I think the other two have a little bit more ceiling about him. So to me, I think you're right in identifying guys like Flanders, Green, Whitfield off the buyer's upgrades. I absolutely think that. Now, whether teams are in a position to make that upgrade, I'm not sure. It partially depends on many variables, Rowan, in terms of who they have, their structures, what their bank balance looks like, who are the other premium options they have coming through their teams. Are they a Dacos owner? Are they a Gorn owner? Or what are they doing with Grundy when he comes to his buy? Are they going up to a Marshall type, and so they can't afford to get up to the Green? They can only do a Flanders. So all of those variables, Rowan, come into place. But yeah, I think Windy can wait a week. JC, he's got Caulfield at D7, Bonner at M5, and Sexton at F4. So you've got pain, is what I'm hearing you say, JC. I was initially thinking of taking Caulfield to a rookie, but not liking the look of Pink, Draper, or Hoare. Curtin, if named. No, you're not doing Dan Curtin. So I'm looking at Bonner to Windy and Sexton to Tom Powell. Is it too early to do the first trade from both Bonner and Windhager perspectives? Here's what I'll say about defensive cash cows. I don't like any of them at the moment. Pink is the one that's got the most job security, but I just don't think he's going to make you enough money in this role. I really, really don't. I think Hoare's going to give you a couple of weeks and then he'll go back to doing what he was last week, which is on the edge of the side sub sort of territories. So it would be a short and sharp jump while guys like May and Lever are out of the side, where he'll get a little bit of security and potential scoring. Whether that's worth the trade or not, I'm not too sure. I think what you've identified there is right, which is moving out the guys of Sexton and Bonner and going mid-price at a mid-price. I'm not a huge fan of that. I would be seeing is, as good as Powell is, for example, is there a defense, is there a option for you to be, not defensive, but change your approach? Can you go down to a cow and go up to a premium with those two mid-prices? Because all you're doing is mid-pricer to mid-pricer, politely. And Powell's good, and I wouldn't talk anyone out of going Tommy Powell. Big, big fan of Tommy. Windy, I still think in AF, if this is an AF question, mate, can wait the week. Super coach, yeah, okay, I'm a little more interested based on the bubble of everything. But to me, I'd investigate that for you, JC. Do you have an Ollie Dempsey? Now it's now or never with him. Is a Gallagher an option for you this week with back-to-back 50-odd scores in AF anyway? Again, not sure what the format is here, mate. But he's got West Coast this week, and could you get up to all of a sudden get a big ticket option or prepare yourself financially to getting a Flanders next week or a Marshall the week after that off Grundy or a premium midfielder like a Green in 2 weeks' time and really spend that cash? So that would be all I would look at, JC, but I think you're right. I'll only, if I was a Caulfield owner, I would be only really wanting to move off if it got me to a D'Ambrosio type or a Zach Williams type if I didn't have Zach and was waiting till after the bye, or there was a cash cow that was at that lower price point. Look, maybe a Sean Maker might pop up for us and that kind of helps answer some questions. If a Bonner gets dropped, for example, this is being recorded before teams, obviously. So that would be my only thing. Jack Farnell, he's got a question. Legends, AFL Fantasy, looking for your advice on which trade I should go with. Whitfield and Caulfield to Yo and Mass or Windy. Whitfield and Sexton to Wanganeen, Miller and Powell. I'm feeling he likes the number one option as I don't have to field Howes against Port, and I can use Sexton as a loop between Wilson and Gallagher. So you're right. I think the matchup for Howes isn't great. It's best 18, so he should fall away anyway, so I wouldn't be too concerned by that. And Sexton as the loop, again, that could be helpful and handy. I would just say it looks like you're really bullish on trading out Whitfield, which I don't necessarily hate, but I would not be locking myself into him as my only trade avenue. For example, you've got Sexton and Caulfield as your outs in your two scenarios. What does your team look like if you move them both out? Can you get a Sexton down to one of the midfield or forward cash cows that you don't have accessible right now? And then you've got the cash to be able to get up to Caulfield, up to a Mass. To me, that feels a little bit more exciting in terms of building your team value, and you're not losing and sidewaysing a premium for politely 70,000-80,000 of cash generation. That said, I know a lot of people were getting on Whitfield for the run and for that reason only. But to me, if I was building like right now who I think is comfortable top line defensive premium this year, Dacos, Sheasel, and Whitfield right now for me feel clear and supreme in that top five. And I'm always apprehensive of doing it just for a 1 week pop. Have a look at what it says for you in terms of where your fixture looks during the week, both with Sexton this week, obviously on the bye, and then Caulfield. The Bulldogs play on Sunday, first game Sunday. So can you get, potentially, Jack, look at some of the dynamic options you could choose of, okay, if I want to get into a Ollie Dempsey, I'm just using it as a name, it might not be somebody that you've got available to you, and then a Tom Powell, at least you can look at the Thursday night game, right, before you make that move. So I just look at a few options before you commit to trading out Whitfield. Don't just be so locked into it. Super coach question from Andrew. Thanks for the advice, boys. I have Dacos, Young, Caulfield, Reed in defense, plus Martin in the midfield. He's happy to make three trades. Good. I'm a big fan of the boost this week and was thinking of bringing in Miller, McGovern, and Sarong and trading out Young, Dacos until after the bye, and Martin not worried about Caulfield, Reed due to the league focus. Okay. So that's good to know that's your league focus. Is it too short-sighted? Maybe I need to address a rookie. Already has Howes, D'Ambrosio, so would think Pink. Yeah, look, for me, Pink's got job security, but he won't generate much more than 60K for you. So you're basically making a trade to throw that spot away. Not for the year, but to go, okay, you're pretty much happy with a 50 in Supercoach. No, I'm just not a fan of pink this week. It feels like you're choosing the best of a bad option. And if you've already got Moss, I'd be looking elsewhere. From that, I don't like the trade into McGovern. Millerer, I don't mind. And Sarong, I think, is there. Trading out of a young Dacos combination, I'm quite okay with in Supercoach. I really quite am. I wouldn't be shocked if Nick Dacos goes 140 this week against Brisbane. That's the worst game I've seen Nick play, and he wants to be the best player in the competition. It's the worst I've seen Collingwood's midfield function. It's never seen them treat Dacos and that kind of out-the-back ball that he would always sort of get not there. I'm fully expecting a Nick Dacos rebound. Remember, a player's price only matters if you trade them. I know it hasn't moved, so you're banking on the price severely dropping, which it will, and it could drop even further with a Finn McGuinness tag next week. The only thing I'd say is you're now building a platform for getting into a premium with a Sarong, who I love as a selection, by the way, only to figure out a way to go back and get Dacos. I think you can do all of those approaches. I just don't like the McGovern component, and happy for you to move a Martin on as well. I think that's perfectly fine. And as long as you've got some depth of coverage in your back line, I think you can prioritise other areas. Paul's got a question in AFL Fantasy. What are your thoughts on Kane Farrell? Could he continue to average 90 with Port's good run to the bye? Look, he could, but I wouldn't bank on it. Would be what I would say. It's a good matchup for him this week. Taking on Melbourne, that's pretty favourable for halfbacks. Essendon the week after that, it's pretty reasonable. Frio and then Collingwood. So the fixture's certainly there, and against St Kilda. Adelaide is round 8, is probably the first matchup that for his position isn't going to be super favourable. For me, I'd probably look at other options. Just personally, I think he's probably outperforming what his probable scoring is, Paul. But yeah, if you like him, go for it, because the fixture is handy for him. So, sure. Supercoach question from Guy. He's then got an AFL fantasy question. He's got 63K in the bank. Good to know. He's been disappointed with Short and Young. Both have big break evens as starters in defence. He's also got Clark, D'Ambrosio, Williams, Howes, Whitfield, Caulfield, and he's got Yeo in the mids. Good to know. The other option is to use Hogan, who he started in the forward line, to move to Jackson. So he's got a couple of outs. They all involve Young. Option 1 and 2 have Short and Caulfield out. It means he gets Sheasel, Crouch, Steele, or an equivalent rook. The other one is Sheasel, Wanganeen, Miller, and an equivalent rook. Or option 3, Young and Short. So one of the two, Hogan and Caulfield. And then it's Sheasel, rookie, equivalent, and Jackson. Look, personally for me, out of those, I like the option of Sheasel, Steele, and one of those equivalent rookies. So I think that would probably be where I'd personally be looking to go. I'm a big fan of what Jack Steele is doing so far this year. He's really rebounded back to where we expected him to really be as a player. So he's going at basically 120 at 529K. So I think there's something really nice to it. If you get up to Caleb Sarong, this would be an awesome time to do it, but I don't know if you've got that extra 90K to be able to do it, but I think that could be a play. So yeah, for me, the reason I would say Hogan, I would wait just that fraction little bit more on, is for a couple of reasons. One, he's got a break even of 34, so there's still a big bit of cash that's sitting there. And then next week is still a relatively interesting matchup for me against Gold Coast and then St Kilda. So I still think he's got a couple of interesting matchups for me. But what's really hurt him in Supercoach is this 66. But that 165 from the week prior is going to sit in that price cycle movement for at least another fortnight for us with them being on the buy. So I'd probably be less inclined to move on Hogan, and a Young and a Short combination I'd be okay with. Your Supercoach question though, mate, you've got Sexton. So your AFL fantasy question, Sexton and Bonner, plus you've got 150K. Option 1, Sexton and Bonner, they're both going out regardless. It's Gallagher and Steele, or Setterfield, or Powell, Crouch, and Jordan Clark. I like option one out of those two, just personally, in terms of maximising scoring on field. I like Powell and Crouch as options. I think they're fine. Crouch, like I said before, I'm a Crows supporter, you know, full disclosure. So not loving what they're doing with this midfield mix at the moment. I think something does and will change a little bit this week. It might not be the players, but it might be mindset a little bit. And so this little dinky 2 meter handball, 2 meter handball, 10 meter kick, 2 meter handball, you ain't going to win the games of footy with that. And so that might just take his ceiling down a little bit to be some 90s, and you might not max that out. So to me, that's why I'm not as bullish on Matt Crouch. But yeah, hope that helps. James, he's getting Newcomb out. He wants to get up to a more longer-term option. Does he look at a Dawson, or does he look to a little bit more value in a Matt Crouch this week? So both these Crows options, for me, I wouldn't be going to a Crow this week. I think Dawson in Supercoach in a couple of weeks' time when he's bottoming down in price and the Crows figure out this midfield a little bit more, yes, absolutely. But for a third time, Crouch, I do not want any shares on right now. The midfield is not functioning as a cohesive, composed unit. They do need to bring some change. So I would be looking to get Newcomb somewhere else. If it's now or a really long time away for Caleb Sarong, can you go there? Is there someone that you like that's in that early range that still's got some good fixtures, like a Zach Butters, for example? Is there a mid-price guy that you could jump on if you are wanting to do some value that you can pivot across and make that run? There's a few options for you. So hopefully that helps you, James. Sriram, AFL Fantasy question, looking for a defender for a cash boost to be moved on at the time. It's Windy or D'Ambrosio. D'Ambrosio for me. You can wait a week on Windy. Dylan, and AFL Fantasy question. I want to get off Salem quickly. Good. Don't like the role. He junked it up late. He did. Sexton to Gallagher, and then a Salem to a unique pick like a Newman could be good. Or do I straight bat it with a Wanganeen Millerer? I can do a Moss and a Powell. So much mid-price switching this week. I like getting into Wanganeen Millerer. And I think the matchup for Gallagher this week, he's gone 50s in okay matchups. This is a West Coast matchup. Oh, I think an 80 could be well on the cards for Gallagher and really accelerate that cash movement. For some reason, they seem to really love him in the team. So to me, I would absolutely be getting off Salem. Newman is fine, but Wanganeen Millerer for me really is a much stronger play. And that's not just recency bias of scoring. It's just I like him more. You're also getting him cheaper, $40,000 cheaper. So Newman's a good pick. Don't get me wrong. He's a really good pick and crazy unique. But Wanganeen Millerer would be the one for me. Ben Kildea is probably it's too late for the pod. No, it's not. You can thank the fact that our lives were chaos for the past 36 hours so we could get this one into you, mate. So it's fine. If I can only afford to get one or the other, do I get Powell or D'Ambrosio? The question for me isn't about who you can afford. It's about what happens with the other pick, right? Because if you're picking a Powell, what does that mean for who's on that defensive spot that would have been a D'Ambrosio? So it's not just as simple as who do I get? It's the combination of things, Ben, that you need to look at. So, for example, if it's Powell and I'm benching Caulfield, so a Sexton and a Caulfield, for example. Well, I'm not making any money out of Caulfield and Sexton's not making me money, so I'm making my money off Powell. Whereas the D'Ambrosio is the option up, you're not making any money off Sexton either, but you're opening up the opportunity for you to have your vice captaincy loophole activated if you don't have a red dot ruck, for example, or something like that. So look at it in combinations. Personally, for me, I trust the scoring of D'Ambrosio a little bit more, and that's just because he's done it back to back 2 weeks in a row. Whereas Powell, as good as he was in the first week, that was what AFL Fantasy, I think it was like mid to high 70s, which is fine. It's perfectly fine. But a drop and a hit at that point in time really does slow everything down for you. So, for example, if we were to look at Powell, averaging of 95. He's got a break-even of 25, and that's with scores of 78 and 113. Whereas D'Ambrosio, if we look at what he's done over the past 2 weeks, 550, so comparable price, break-even of 19, comparable, but he's come off the back of a 94 and 96, and he's got Geelong, Collingwood, and Gold Coast, and then North Melbourne. So fixture-wise, I probably like D'Ambrosio's that little bit more. I just trust the consistency of scoring, which ultimately will lead to trust in a little bit more bankable cash generation. Remember just a week ago how bullish so many of us were on a Bonner, and then he delivers a 61 for us, and now plenty of coaches are looking to get off him. And for right reasons too, by the way. There's a world where we get a good, solid, high 70s from Tommy Power this week, and he's now just the one further week away from trading out. And that might be fine, because that's your pathway to Flanders. That's your pathway to upgrading Grundy. And that's okay. That's the only thing I would say, Ben, is I would lean on D'Ambrosio more. There's a bit more trust for scoring and cash generation, but it's about the combination of what else is happening on your field to factor in. Last one, Jimmy Johnson's got a super coach question. Hayden Young, Brody Grundy, and Nick Martin all out for Wanganeen, Miller, Cherry, and Carroll. Okay, so you're going from premium defender, cash-generating ruck, mid-price breakout option, down to a cash cow, which I like the Carroll selection, by the way. Cherry, I think you need to. Wanganeen, Miller, I think you should have a lot more money there, Jimmy, to be able to access an option. And so as good as Wanganeen Miller will be for us in Supercoach, I think you've got the money sitting there to do something else. Now, that might mean you could turn, for example, a Nick Martin up to... no, you want Carroll. But turn a Hayden Young up to, for example, a Luke Ryan type, that top-end option, unless you've got a plan to get a Flanders next week off his bye or a Whitfield off his bye. That would be the thing I'd be saying for you, mate. I think Wanganeen Miller is going to be around that conversation of a top 10 defender, but even if we just look in Supercoach last week, where he's been perfectly good for us over the past couple of weeks, going at 110 over the year. But 101, 120, Essendon, Richmond, GWS, Bulldogs. So before round seven, the fixtures are quite nice for him. But to me, I would either be maximising that cash this week to go right up on top of Wanganeen Miller, or planning for a trade next week. Your other option is fade Carroll, which I think is a consideration, and go and get yourself a big ticket premium, like a steal, for example. So that could be an option for you as well. I'd probably rather almost look at building out a 2 to 3 week plan, map out your trades, forecast what you want your team to look like coming out of round six, and then you've got to ask yourself the question, does the money I save on Wanganeen Miller, as opposed to a Ryan type or fading a Carroll and not... and going up to a steal, what does that do to my team in 2 to 3 weeks' time? Always be a couple weeks ahead. Life changes. You need to be really open to those movements. But to me, that would be my encouragement for you, mate, is look at what your team looks like in 3 weeks with those options and variables. And off the basis of that, make the decisions to make certain trades. Personally, for me, I'd be looking to see what I could do with activating that money in a week's time as well. So Flanders, I think we were all really quite keen and still quite keen on if we didn't start him, but we're just concerned about the role and wanting to see it, and then the early buy. Both of those things will be diminished as concerns this time next week. And so if all of a sudden you're preparing to move yourself on from something else in your team, then I think you can absolutely do that. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope Patreons, as always, this has been a helpful episode with some quick first thought, first look answers to your questions. And for those of you that are listening that normally don't get access to this podcast, hope this makes up for us not being able to get that strategy roundtable for you in Supercoach this week. Hey, thank you for your support. We appreciate you. We can't wait to be back chatting fantasy footy, Supercoach, and everything that impacts your fantasy football worlds next week. Good luck in this round. It's a big movie. Camping Week, the first week where we'll see our teams get impacted by premiums and starting structures with the Gold Coast and the Giants off this week. So I'm fascinated to see what this week of Best 18 footy brings for us.